you want to join us, you're welcome. All right? You don't mind getting dirty? You don't mind getting dusty? Of course, now it's going to be a little cleaner now because we got everything sort of cleaned up now. Anyways, this morning, I'm going to complete a series I've been working on in the life of Elijah, or as some would say, Elisa. I'm going to look at lessons from the axe head. I use this as my wedge for doing blocks sometimes when I'm splitting. Sometimes my splitter doesn't break it, so I need this and a sledgehammer. So this morning we're going to look at lessons from an axe head. And we're going to turn to 2 Kings 6. We're going to look through verses 1 through 7 this morning. All right. So let's read that passage, shall we? It says, "The company of the prophets said to Elijah, 'Look, the place where we meet with you is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan, where each of us can get a pole, and let us build a place there for us to live.' And Elijah said, 'Go.' Then one of them said, 'Won't you please come with your servants?' 'I will,' Elijah replied, and he went with them. They went to the Jordan and began to cut down trees. As one of them was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. 'Oh, my Lord,' he cried, 'it was borrowed.' And the man of God asked, 'Where did it fall?' And when he showed him the place, Elijah cut a stick and threw it in it there. It made the iron float. 'Lift it out,' Elijah said. Then the man reached out his hand and took it." All right. Interesting story, eh? Very true story as well. But some very deep practical lessons that we can learn, spiritual ones. The axe head, for argument's sake, represents the keen cutting edge of your life and my life. This axe head is fairly dull, so it wouldn't split very much at all. It needs to be resharpened to make it work. Our lives are filled with the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. And at times, you and I can lose that cutting edge. However, there is recovery, and this story tells us how. So today, some questions to begin with. Have you lost your cutting edge due to self-effort or self-pleasing? Is your witness and service for God kind of dull, kind of ineffective, not really going anywhere due to self-glory or self-respect? More importantly, do you know how to recover your cutting edge? Do you know how to do it when you've lost it? And if you can't answer those questions, maybe today we need to listen and see what God has to say to us. To appreciate the practical application of this fascinating Old Testament story, and I'm going to put true story, all right? True story. Someday we're going to go to heaven and we're going to ask him about it even more. All right? The axe head was borrowed. That's the first thing we got to realize. Verse 5 says, it was borrowed. With the simple lifestyle of the company of the prophets, we have every reason to believe and assume that the borrowing of the axe head was the result of a compassionate benefactor. It was borrowed. Somebody loaned this axe head, this axe, to this prophet. And this is a lesson we find difficult to learn. We always pride ourselves on our accomplishments and achievements. We always like to do what? Bat ourselves on the back from time to time. And we forget and to recognize that all we are and all that we have is given to us by a compassionate benefactor. And that is our Heavenly Father in heaven. Romans 8:32 says, "Since God did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, and won't God who gives us Christ also give us all things?" Don't forget that. We read really quickly, all things. Then over in James 1:17 it says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Then over in Romans 11:29, God's gifts and his call can never be withdrawn. However, he expects an accounting of every talent, every gift or gifts, and all the things that he has bestowed upon us. Some of us know the parable found in Matthew 25:14-30. It is the parable of the talents. How many of us know the story? How many have read it? Good. So I'm just going to summarize it, all right? The theme is the tragedy of wasted talents. One servant was given how many talents? Five. The second was given how many? Two. And another one was given one. Then the master leaves, and after a long time he returned and called the servants together to settle the accounts. He found that two had been faithful. So the one that was given five, how many more did he make? Five more. One that was given two, he made two more. The guy that was given one, what did he do? He basically took his coin like a dog and buried it in the backyard. Right? Instead of putting it somewhere so he can make interest. So one had wasted the talent given to him. The parable stresses that we must be faithful in using our talents for service, which our Heavenly Father has given to us. God has given us those talents to use for his kingdom and for his glory. And whatever talents we have, whether the opportunities that God gives to us, the abilities God has given to us, there are things that you can do that I can't. There's things I can do you cannot do. All right? I'm not a mechanic. And so even to change the light bulb in the truck or the car, I'll take it in and get it done. I can't even do that. But give me a hammer, I can build something. And I can build it right from scratch to finish. All right? What about your gifts? Or the gift that God has given to you to serve in his kingdom? All belongs to God. We possess them, but God owns them. We are simply his servants, a vessel. Everything we have has been given to us, loaned to us. Take note, there was a condition attached. Verse 5 says, "Oh my Lord, it was borrowed." And of course, the prophet's cry indicates that he was under an agreement. A condition was attached to that piece of equipment. Not only was he responsible for cutting down trees, but he was also responsible for the axe head. Now, I have a policy that I work by and live by. Any tool borrowed or well working, and that tool is broken because of abuse, somebody takes my beautiful 4-foot level and uses it as a sledgehammer and breaks it, they're going to repair it. They're going to buy me a new one. That's as simple, as straightforward as it gets. All right? And then I'm the same way with you. If I borrow something from you and I break it, I'm either going to fix it or I'm going to replace it. It's just only fair. The story also illustrates to us that the training center had become too small, so an expansion was needed. Verse 1 says, "Look, the place where we meet with you is too small for us." So it was this task that these company of prophets were committed to. And this is our obligation in our Christian service. God is ever moving on. Where God's Spirit is unhindered, there is always expansion. There is always a moving forward. God is always on the move. It is for this reason that God holds us personally responsible for our tasks, our talents, and we are accountable for the gifts that he has given to us. Every one of us who is born again and knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior will stand before him and give an account of those talents and those gifts that God has given to us. And I don't have the scripture up here today. I didn't put it on the overhead. Sorry about that, but anyways. It is found in 1 Corinthians 3:12-15. So someday you and I are going to stand before Jesus, not for salvation reasons, but for what we've done, the work we've done for him. What has he given to it? Have we wasted it or used it for him? Now everyone who builds on that foundation may use gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But there is going to come a time of testing at the judgment day to see what kind of work each builder has done. Everyone's work will be put through the fire to see whether or not it keeps its value. If the work survives the fire, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burnt up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builders themselves will be saved, but like someone escaping through a wall of flames. So someday you and I are going to have to give an account of our gifts and our talents and what we've done with them, opportunities God has given to us. So let it be the cry of our hearts this morning. Oh my Lord, it was borrowed. Realize that everything we have is loaned to us. Observe that the axe head was lost. And it tells us as one of them was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. Here we're faced with a solemn warning, which I believe that all of us would do well to heed. The Spirit of God, even Scripture teaches us that it's possible for us to lose our cutting edge, our usefulness, and our power for service. And let's look at a couple areas in our lives where this is possible. It can happen while we are working. We know the prophet was cutting down a tree. He was busy doing a task. He was working. He didn't lose his axe head because he was lazy or through idleness. He's probably the busiest one in the whole works, probably the only one that had the axe head. But what a word is this for us today. The fact that we are busy in God's service is no final evidence that we are empowered from on high. Today, so much Christian activity within the church and what we do outside the church is nothing more than noise without power, motion without progress, and show without reality. I just wanted to use an illustration. Comes from John Henry Fabry. Now, he isn't the guy that invented the fabric softener. He was a French naturalist. All right? He's doing an experiment with processionary calipers. Do you know what those ones are? Do you have any idea? Does anybody know? It's those calipers that have a leader, and they all line up and follow, and they just have a great big line. They just go everywhere. Wherever the leader goes, this caliper, the rest of them follow. He took a flower pot. He put one on there, and then he put another one touching the other one, all the way around till the first guy was touching the other one and let him loose. And they ran around that top of that rim for 7 days. And in the center of the pot, he put a pile of pine leaves, needles, I should say, which is their food. They went around and around and around, and you know what happened? They started falling off because they're dying of starvation. Just fell off. Yet the food was right there. Many Christians make this same mistake. We go round and round and round, thinking we're doing great things for God or others, but the result is we're not going anywhere. We're just going in circles. I remember got called out to do a job on the Arikana Highway in central Alberta, and I drove onto the farmyard, went past the house, the old house, to the new one that I was working on. And it was quite a ways away. And I opened the door up, and a dog tears out of the house. And when a dog tears out of somebody's house, I'm usually in the truck pretty quick, but I wasn't near it. And this dog would run about 5 feet, and you know what it would do? It would just all of a sudden stop and chase its tail. Round, and then go for a little, and all the way down the farmyard it did that. Sometimes I think about that. That's sometimes us as Christians. We just go a great burst of energy, then all of a sudden we stop and go around in circles. Right? May God have mercy on us if we try to serve him without his power and his blessing in our Christian walk and service. Make sure that he is the one that is working through us. It can happen while we are watching. Verse 5 says, and one of the prophets was cutting down a tree, the axe head fell into the Jordan River. So he was working, but he wasn't watching. He was oblivious to the fact that the axe head was getting loose and slipping from the handle. Now, I have learned over the years, especially if this is a wood handle through this axe, when this gets loose, what do people do? They drive nails over here, screws over here, try getting a wedge in it. But I learned over the years the best way, especially if it's a wood handle, get a pail of water, drop it in, because then that wood swells and forms a tight fit. All right? It's not nice to see an axe head go flying across the job site or a sledgehammer head. I've seen that before, so make sure they're good and tight. Tragedy occurs, so the prophet lost his borrowed axe head in the dark, muddy waters of the Jordan River. The lesson we can learn from this event is found in Mark 13:38, where Jesus told his disciples to watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. It is a fact that spiritual breakdown in the church and in our lives can be traced to a neglected devotional and prayer life. When that is left out, that's when tragedy usually takes place in our lives. We know that Samson lost his strength while he was diligent in working, but negligent in watching. His spiritual life began to slip the day he awoke from a nap and went out to demonstrate his strength. He did not know that the Lord had departed from him. So we must be aware of losing our cutting edge and our power with God and with others. It can happen while we are diligent in our work, that negligent in our watching. So may God help us to ever be alert and always be conscious of our cutting edge. Now, I don't know. How many of you have ever heard of, read the story about where they, in the Philippines, after a storm, a yacht had drifted into one of the bays. And when they found it was pretty beat up. When they went inside the cabin, they found the guy actually in it, sitting at the kitchen table. But because he'd been out to sea so long, the salt had preserved him. So he was still sitting in the place doing something. That story reminds me of many people that we know who go out onto the sea of life without Jesus and are lost. Never finished the journey that they had planned. We all know people like that today. All of us do. We have friends. We have family members, co-workers who refuse God's gift of eternal life. Just turned their back on the church and walked away. And even within the church, many have adopted an appearance of Christian life. They live by its name, rules, words, and phrases, but are spiritually dead, lost. There have been many Christians who have not been watching, and they drifted into the darkness of sin. When I was in Bible college, there was a fellow came with his family. God called him into ministry, graduated with him. He went to pastor a church in Troshu for a while, then one in Drumheller, then one in Vegreville. Sort of followed his career a bit. Next thing I know, he's back trucking, but not with his wife, with some other woman. Lost it all. He was busy doing God's work, but wasn't watching where his life was going. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. And this leads to my last point. The axe head was located. The man of God asked, where did it fall? And when he showed him the place, Elijah cut a stick and threw it in there and made the iron float. And once again, we are confronted with a solemn instruction when our cutting edge is lost. And we've lost the power of God to do his work. So, what's the first thing we should do? This should be an explanation of our problem. Elijah asked, where did it fall? And the prophet showed him the place. One of the hardest things for you and I to do is explain to God or to a spiritual leader why we went astray. That is very difficult. You ever tried it with your teenage kids? Boy, that's difficult, isn't it? But Jesus Christ insists that we do. The place of departure is always the place of recovery. How many of us have ever gone on a trip or hiking, studied a map, and yet we've got lost? I know most guys just take a map and they just crumple it up and throw it in the back seat. Some of you guys are laughing, but that's so true, right? But you study the map and you still get lost. What's the best thing to do? Stop, turn around, retrace your steps back to where you made the wrong turn, and then start over again. That's the way you've got to start. And this is all true in our spiritual journey. We only find our cutting edge where we have lost it. We need to return to that point where we've gone astray. In Ecclesiastes 3:15, it says, "For God calls the past to an account." And then over in 1 John 1:9, it says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all righteousness." So we are to return to where we went astray. We're to go to God, explain to him. He already knows why we went astray, but he still wants us to step out in faith and trust him. Because he knows that confession is the way to recovery. We need to confess where we went wrong. Come back to that point again and say, "Father, this is where I messed up. Help me to fix it. Cleanse me from what I've done and move forward." The second is application of God's power. Verse 6, Elijah cut a stick and threw it there and made the iron float. "Lift it out," Elijah said. And so the student reached out, and what did he do? He picked it up. Can you imagine this floating on the water? It's not drifting anywhere either. It's still floating there. The river hasn't taken it downstream. But I want you to take note of verse 6 again. Elijah cut a stick. Throughout Scripture, Jesus is often referred to as a branch. The cutting of the stick speaks of Jesus' death. The application of divine power is always the answer to our need. Observe in our story that when Elijah cut off the stick and threw it into the river, the axe head floated to the surface and stayed there. All right? When you point out your area where you've gone wrong, and Jesus comes and takes care of it, you will find there is freedom. He gives you freedom, deep freedom. This reminds me of the Apostle Paul's words in Romans 8:2. "Through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death." At the moment of salvation, you and I were set free from sin and death. The Holy Spirit entered our lives and internally released us from all those sins that weighed us down, that entangled us and controlled us. And he set us free, gave us freedom, a miracle of God's power. And when God frees us and sets us free, there is restoration. Verse 7, Elijah said, "Lift it out," and the student picked it out. We must give thanks and praise to God, because in the cross of Christ, there is freedom and restoration. For all of us who have wandered and wavered in our Christian walk, for some of us, today we're defeated. We feel that we've been beaten. But remember, in Jesus Christ, there is freedom and restoration. So hopefully, have you seen how God can take your life after you've lost your cutting edge and has now given you freedom and restoration? Remember, your axe head is borrowed, loaned to you, but it can be lost. I just want you to listen to this old poem, because it really sums up what I just said. It says, "Return, O holy dove, return. Sweet messenger of rest, I hate the sins that made me mourn and drove thee from my breast. The dearest idol I have known, whate'er that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee. So shall my walk be close with God, calm and serene my frame. So pure light shall mark the road that leads me to the Lamb. So have you seen today through this story that all that we have is loaned to us? And if we mess up and fall down in our Christian walk, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is freedom and there's restoration. And he will restore us once again, no matter what we're going through. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, what tremendous stories that we find in the Old Testament. Father, here we find that all that we have and all that you've given to us has been loaned to us. And we're responsible for them. But we know that we can be doing so much for you, working for you, but we forget to watch. And then we slip away. But Father, we do know that in Jesus Christ, your Son, we can go to him, confess what we have done, and we will find ultimate freedom and restoration. So be with us today, Father, and prepare our hearts as we go into the communion service. Allow thy Spirit to go in through our lives and the dark recesses of places that we have hidden stuff. Allow him to go into your life and remove it. So as we gather around the table, remember he died for you and for me. In thy name, amen.